still, heaven is silent as the mighty judge ascends the throne. The book of life is opened, and countless souls, they begin to mourn. From the throne comes a voice like thunder. Depart, I know you not, for the names written in this book are the souls my blood has bought. Faces turn as into the courtroom comes the very seed of sin. He who was the saint's accuser must face the charges against him. With the fury of all the ages, that demon voice begins to cry. It's not fair. I thought I had you on Golgotha. I watched you die. Then Satan, he begins to tremble as his fate to him is known. From the throne comes the verdict, the lake of fire.
On one side or the other for all eternity. You better choose the right side. It's not about the works that you've done, but it's about what you did with Jesus Christ. He's the full payment of salvation, that gift, and one day we'll stand before him. Amen? Amen. And what a wonderful words to hear, to enter into eternity. And how sad it would be on the other side, depart from me, I never knew you. I'll pray that you know that heaven is your home, and what a wonderful place it is to be a child of God. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. When you find that, would you stand to your feet as we read the Word of God? 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And we'll begin reading in verse number 12. Second Chronicles chapter number 7. And we'll begin in verse number 12. The Bible says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and mine ears and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Let's talk to the Lord. We ask, Lord, that you'd help today, Lord, with the word of God as it's preached, Lord, that you would use my voice, Lord, that you would help, Lord, what to be said be exactly what you want, and that you'd speak to each and every heart today, Lord. I believe that you brought us together to speak to hearts and to change lives, to draw us closer to you, most importantly, in this matter of salvation. Lord, if there's anyone that is not 100% sure that heaven will be their home, Lord, please convict. Lord, show them that you love them, that you died for them, and that by simple faith and calling out to a holy God and receiving salvation, Lord, that's how anyone will go to heaven. Please bless this time, we ask in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. As you're seated, would you take a moment, if you haven't already, in silence or turn off your cell phone? That would be a blessing. And for a few moments, as we get to hear from the Lord and through His Word, I ask that you kind of sit quietly and listen for a moment as we get to the preaching time today. This verse, you know, in verse number 14, a very, very familiar verse for Christians to know this: if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This verse is surrounded by the dedication of the temple that the Lord used Solomon to build. If you take the time to look at Solomon's temple, it is incredible. Incredible. 7 years to build the temple and the house of God, and overlaid with gold, and all that the Lord did to make a beautiful place for God's people to come and to worship Him. And in the previous chapter, in chapter number 6, if you take the time to read it later, won't read the whole chapter this morning, but much of chapter number 6 is Solomon praying and calling out to God, and that dedication time of the temple, and he took some time to pray in chapter number 6. And in the previous chapter, he talks about how many times he wants God to hear from him. I believe it is 8 different times that Solomon says, God, hear us. Hear us. Hear us. Hear us as we call out to you. 5 different times he says, Lord, forgive us. Look all through that passage in chapter number 6, a powerful prayer as they get ready that God would want to bless the temple and to bless the lives of those here and God's chosen people. And he says, hear us and forgive us. And you see that powerful prayer. And then in chapter number 7, that God sends fire down from heaven. He consumes the sacrifice. In chapter number 5, they had sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. In chapter 7, they had sacrificed thousands upon thousands, but in chapter 5, there was more that could be counted. Solomon understood how important it was to have God's blessing upon his life, upon the temple, upon God's people. And God responds here in chapter number 7. In chapter number 7, I'm in chapter 6 still, but in chapter 7, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. You remember God had appeared to Solomon in previous times when he was young and getting ready to take over as the next king of Israel. And he said, Solomon, he came to him in a dream and said, I'll give you whatever you want. And no, young people, he didn't ask for an Xbox or a PlayStation or a car. But he said, Lord, I need wisdom. I need wisdom, understanding how to rule your people. And God gave him wisdom more than any other person. And he also blessed him with riches and honor and power and all those things as well. But now God appears to Solomon again in chapter number 7. He appeared to him by the night and he says, I have heard thy prayer. Isn't that a blessing to know that God hears your prayer? You're not praying to a dead God. Your prayers don't bounce off the ceiling, but you're praying to a real and a mighty God that's alive, and he hears your prayers. And he said, Solomon, I hear your prayer. I've heard your prayer, and I've chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. What a special place, the house of God. Shasta Baptist Church, this place isn't just another building. It's beautiful, and I love it, and I love this place, but it's not just another building. This is the house of God. It's a special place to go to. There's some sacred places throughout our country you could go to, and man, it just has such an aura, if you will, about it, such a serenity or a seriousness of the place, but there is nothing like the house of God. And God had sent fire down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, and God spoke to them. And he says in verse number 13, it says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people, if God has maybe turned his face against the land and has not heard their prayer and sent God's judgment upon the land, he says, then if that comes, then if my people, which are called by my name, and we're going to look at this phrase first of all this morning, shall, what's the next two words? Humble themselves. We have a scheduled meetings of a revival conference, revival meetings here in a few weeks. And many times this verse is one of the key verses that you look at with revival. And my, how much do we need revival in our country today? A revival is an awakening and a turning back to God. Would to God that America would see some revival and people turning back to God. But many times we think of revival for those that are lost, but revival is for those that are saved. It's for the Christians that hearts have gotten cold and have turned away from God and have maybe turned to wickedness. And he said, if my people, which are called by my name, the Christians, revival is when God's people get thoroughly right with God. Thoroughly right with God. Many times we think it's the other people that what's wrong with our country. No, it's God's people that's wrong with this country today. Again, we think, well, if everyone, now as if us as Christians, if we will humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, then he says, will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. If God's people would get serious and right and humble, but for a holy God, God would hear your prayer, would heal this land. A couple weeks ago, I preached about the subject of the prayer of the righteous. And this morning, I want to, the Lord has directed my heart to preach about the prayer of the humble. The prayer of the humble. That we would come humble before the Lord. Humility. That lowliness. That place of being abased before God. Humility of not thinking highly of myself, but seeing God for who he is and seeing me for who I am. What a humble place that is. I think of Isaiah. The Bible talks about, he said, I saw him high and lifted up. He saw how great God is and how wonderful God is, but then he said, but woe is me, for I am undone. When you see God for who he is, you see you for who you are, and I see me for who I am. And what a humbling place it is to look to God, and then you see how low that we are, that place of humility. See, the opposite of humility is pride. Pride is such a destroyer, isn't it? I love our country, but we have been cursed with pride in our country. We think that we are indestructible in the great and the power of America, and we have a powerful and a blessed country, and I'm thankful to live in America, but how careful we must be to be lifted up in pride and to not realize why God has placed us here, the God that we serve, and before we become in a place of pride, that God would destroy us, we must come humbly before God. The opposite of pride is humility. Humility. And humility is coming before God and seeing us for who we are. I preach about this prayer of the righteous. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. See, to have the voice and to have the ear of God, you must know that you're saved and that you're going to heaven. That your sins are forgiven at one time in your life. That you've been born again. You've been saved. You put your faith in Jesus Christ, alone is your only way to heaven, and at that moment you receive eternal life. That is salvation. That Jesus died, was buried, and rose again to be the full payment of salvation. Saved. Do you know that you are saved 100% sure that if you died today, the heaven is your home? So the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are open unto the ears of their cry. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. That righteous talks about those that are saved, but it's also about those that are holy and right before God. Our choir sang about this morning, about holy is He. He alone is holy. He calls us to holy. He said, be holy, even as I also am holy. That God is calling us up to holiness. In comparison to God, I'm not holy. In comparison to God, even my righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. And God hears, the Bible says, the prayers of the righteous. But today I want to submit to you that God only hears the prayers of the righteous, but God hears the prayer of the humble. The humble, the prayer of the humble. See, pride says, I don't need God. I can do it on my own. Pride says, I don't believe in God. I don't even know if there is a God in heaven. I'm not sure. How prideful is it to think that somehow we know better than God, or that we did not need the God of this universe for us to be created, for us to have life, to be sustained? The Bible says the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. What a prideful place to think, well, I don't even know if there is a God. So you think that you're smarter than God then, don't you? No, see, I know there's a God in heaven, because without the God in heaven, I would not be here today, and neither would you. In pride, we get so lifted up in our country. We were raising so many atheists and agnostics, and, you know, there's no God, or maybe there's a God, but I'm not sure. There is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven, and one day every knee will bow. Not some, but every knee will bow before that God. Pride says, I don't need God, or I don't believe in God, or even this. I can do it without God. I can make it without God. I've done it before. I can do it again. No, you can't, and no, I cannot either. We must be so careful, that pride, that we can be lifted up. The Bible says, without me, you can do nothing. Without God, you can do nothing. You can't get to heaven without God. You can't take another breath without God. You don't have anything without God. That pride, that we get so lifted up before the Lord. The Bible says, God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble. My, how easily we get lifted up in pride, as Lucifer in heaven, a created angel of God Himself, that he lifted himself up in pride and said, I will be like the Most High. The first sin ever was by Satan himself in heaven. He said, I want to be like the Most High. What a prideful place to be. But how many times in our life do we lift ourselves up as somehow that we are God or a God, that somehow we choose right and wrong, we choose whatever the way of heaven is, but no, God is the one that makes the rules, isn't He? God is the supreme ruler, leader of this universe. God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble. See, God resists those that are proud. Why? Because those that are in pride have resisted God. But those that are humble, that He giveth grace to that humble. The Bible says in Proverbs, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. We could read many verses about what pride is, but man, in society today, how lifted up in pride are we today? That somehow we think we don't need God, and how foolish are we as a country to think that somehow we weren't founded on the principles of God and His Word, and that somehow we don't need God anymore. The moment you kick God out of this country is the moment that you nail the coffin, if you will, for America. And the downfall of America will be the time that you kick the Lord out of this country. Solomon would say, hear us, forgive us, hear us, Lord. Today I want to submit to you 3 points today about the prayer of the humble. Number one, The point is this: humility is necessary for hearing. Humility is necessary for hearing. Again, look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. Again, it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven." Then will I hear from heaven. If is the first part. That's up to us. If my people, which are called by my name, that's you and me, Christian, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that's that prayer of the righteous, then will I hear from heaven. Humility and holiness is necessary to get a hold of the ear and the heart and the hand of God. Humility. Humility is necessary for God to hear you. See, iniquities are what separate us from God. See, if you die in your sin and you've not had your sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ and the full payment of salvation, you've chosen to be separated from God for all eternity in a place called hell. If you look in the book of Luke about that rich man and Lazarus, the rich man went to hell and Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom there. And the Bible says that that rich man cried out for a drop of water to cool his tongue. And it said there's a great gulf between us fixed so that I can't come from one place or you to another. It's a fixed place for all eternity where your iniquity separates you from God for all eternity. There's separation in eternity for our sin, but there's also separation in this life when we choose sin in our life, and that keeps us from God hearing our prayer. Humility is necessary for healing, for hearing, I'm sorry. Humility is necessary for hearing. If you want God to hear your prayer, you come humbly before the God of heaven. Realize that when you bow your knee and your heart before God, you are entering the throne room of God, and God hears His children talking to Him. May we never come to God in pride, demanding of God. May we humbly come before the Lord and say, "God, I need you today. I need your help today, Lord. I can't do it without you. I need your wisdom. I need your strength. I need your direction. I need your help today, God. I can't do it without you." And God said, "I hear my child talking today." You know what? It's sad. Too many times in our life we have maybe shown it if we haven't said it, that we somehow don't need God. What a foolish place to be, isn't that? To think somehow, "Well, I don't need God." No, you do need God. Every single day, every moment of every day, we need the Lord. And when you humbly come before God and say, "God, I need you today," God hears that prayer. I would submit and say this: I believe that pride is what keeps us from even coming to God in prayer to begin with. Why would you come before the Lord in prayer if you can do it on your own? You don't even need to talk to God because you've got the money, you've got the car, you've got the house, the health, and all the stuff. But then that moment comes, isn't it, where it seems that the rug gets pulled out from under your feet and you say, "Oh God, I need you." You have a choice that you can humble yourself before God or God can humble you. You've been in that place before, as I have as well. You think, "God, I can do it on my own." And God slips that rug out from under your feet, and it seems that you fall on your face. And you say, "God, I'm sorry that I thought I could do it without you. God, I need you." That prayer of the humble, that humility is necessary for healing. Prayer is such an incredible tool of the Christian. Prayer is an incredible weapon of the Christian, but also prayer is an incredible privilege of the Christian, that we get to go before God in prayer and that God hears your prayer just as much as the next person's prayer when you humbly and wholly come before the Lord, right before God. Humility is necessary for hearing. But number two, humility is necessary for healing. Again, in verse number 14, our text verse, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves," that's our part, "and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways," that "if" is up to you and me, "then" is God's part. You know this, that if you do your part, God will always do His part. Amen? In other words, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord might be saved. Is that what the Bible says? Whoso shall call upon the name of the Lord will find out in heaven someday if you've done enough good and not enough bad. No, the Bible says, shall be saved. You come before God, confess, you know, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. That is what salvation is. You do your part. God will do His part every single time. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. See, if you want to get a hold of the heart and the ear of God, you must come with humility. Humility. Bowing your knee and your heart before the Lord and say, God, I need you today. And when you come humbly before the Lord, God hears your prayer, but then that healing comes. Aren't you thankful for healing? Aren't you thankful for healing? We have wounds that come, don't we? Sometimes it's superficial. Sometimes it's on the surface. Sometimes it's inside. And that healing that needs to happen. People that are broken. People that are hurting. People that have walked away from God. You know that path back to God comes through humility and prayer. That healing comes only from the Lord when you come before God and say, God, I need you today. And maybe you've humbled yourself. Maybe God has humbled you. And you come before God and say, God, I need your healing. Well, here's the path to healing. Here's the path to getting things right with God. You wandered far away from God. You know the path back home. I think of the prodigal son, and he walked away from his father, his family, his business, took his inheritance, and he wasted his substance with riotous living. He threw everything away that he had. He had a loving home. He had an inheritance. He had a future back home, and he decided to leave all that and to go to the far country and waste everything that he had. You know, that's what the world and the devil will do with everything good in your life. They'll waste it. Satan will take it away. He'll ruin your life by living that wicked life. And the prodigal son came to himself at one moment. He's in that pig pen. He lost his money, lost his friends. He lost everything that he had. He's in a pig pen and he's eating with that pigs. He's looking at the pig slop and said, ooh, that looks good. I don't know about you, but when I go to a restaurant and you order a meal, what do? You look at everyone's meals coming next to you, don't you? I'm a visual order, okay? I want the picture, all right? Either right here or I want to see someone's going by and I said, I'll take that, all right? I'll take one of those, bring it on over here, and I'll take some of that. But the prodigal son, he looked at that pig slop and he said, that sure looks good. You know how low you have to get in your life to look at the pig slop to think that looks good? And he fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat and said, ooh, that looks good. And I can imagine him picking up some of that food and thinking, I remember being back home. I remember being in my father's house. Man, I was well loved. Man, I was well taken care of, and well, how good I had it back then. But it took some destruction, some humbling in his life to get to that place. And he finally came to the place in his life where he said, I need to go back home. And he came back and he said, I want to go back home and just be a servant. See, he didn't want the greatest position, and he wasn't looking for the robe and the fatted calf and the ring. He wasn't looking for all of that. He said, I just want to go home and be a servant. And he came back humbly to his father, and his father ran back and hugged him and kissed him. And he said, you're home now, son. He said, my son was dead and he's alive now. And he kissed him and he said, get the robe and get the fatted calf and the ring. He said, my son's back home. And there was healing through humility when he came back to the father. You know, when you walked away from God, that place back, that road back to the father is through humility. When you come back to God making excuses and trying to pull the world back in with you, that's not humility. When you get back and you're broken, you know what I'm talking about? You're broken and you say, God, I need you. I'm sorry. I need your help. That's the road to healing. Humility is necessary for healing. It's necessary for hearing, but it's necessary for honor. Many times in this life, people are looking for honor. Look at the name on my back. Look at the title. Look at the car. Look at all the stuff. And we want to impress people with our things and with our positions and our power. You know, God's not impressed with any of that. God doesn't care about how much money you have in the bank. He doesn't care about the car that you drive and the possessions that you have and the title that you have. God is not impressed with any of that. You can choose if you'd rather impress people or impress God. Too many times people are working so hard to impress all the people in life that they don't even know or really care about, instead of impressing and pleasing a holy God of heaven. Humility is necessary for honor. We won't have time to read all the verses, but as you read after these verses here, let's read a couple of them. It says in verse 16, "For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and observe my commandments and my statutes." He said, if you're going to follow my word, if you're going to follow the Bible, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I covenant with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be the ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments which I have set before you, you shall go and serve other gods and worship them. Then will I pluck them up by the roots of my hand, which I have given them in this house, which I have sanctified for my name. Then will I cast out my sight. Then I will make it a proverb and a byword among all the nations. We'll stop there. But God said, if you'll obey me, I'll bless you. I'll put my name there. I'll protect you. And not a man will fail to be a ruler in my house. But if you go and worship false gods, if you turn away from my word, then the enemies would take over. God's people would not lead. Humility is necessary for honor. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. Another verse there, very similar, Proverbs 18, 12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Again, many people today are looking for honor in this life. They're looking for prestige and power and everything the world has to offer. You know, God is the one that truly crowns you with honor, not the world. See, the world says you got to step on people to get your way up and you climb that ladder of success. That's not honor before the Lord, and that's definitely not humility. Humility is coming before the Lord and saying, God, I'm going to follow your word. I'm going to follow your ways. God, I'm going to humbly stay following you. Unfortunately, there came a time in Solomon's life where he walked and turned away from the Lord. All the wives that he had and the false gods that he would worship, and Solomon began in a place of humility, but in time he turned away from the Lord in his life. Humility. Christians, today I ask you this, are you walking before God humbly or in pride? God can bring you low, or you can humble yourself before the Lord. It's your choice. Humbly coming before the Lord. The prayer of the humble. I don't want to waste my time praying. And prayer is not a waste, by the way. Amen? To say, I'm praying for you is not a low thing to do. That's one of the greatest things you could ever do, is to pray for someone. Not just to say it, but to truly pray for someone that's in need. And you come before God and say, God, I need your healing. I need your help and I need your hand. And I humbly come before you and I ask for your help today. Christian, today, how many times is God going to have to humble us before we come humbly before the Lord? It's a place of healing. It's a place of help. It's a place of honor before the Lord.